Hello, speaking to you is Rabbi Professor Yossi Turner. I teach and do research in modern Jewish thought and philosophy at the Schechter Institute in Jerusalem. I am speaking to you as a part of the Chodesh Tov program, which is a monthly 10-minute podcast that is a joint venture of the Schechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. The purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform rabbis of the most current of thinking in a wide variety of fields in Jewish studies. I should like in the coming moments to speak about some of the research I've been doing in recent years on the topic of social justice in modern Jewish thought. I shall begin, however, by saying a few words about the field of scholarship in modern Jewish thought in general. The field of modern Jewish thought and philosophy is very broad and includes scholarship in such area as modern Jewish religious philosophy, scholarship involving directions in modern Jewish culture, faith after the Holocaust, modern and contemporary philosophies of Jewish education, etc. The area of my present research on social justice in modern Jewish thought belongs to the field of Jewish social thought, which is one of the most underemphasized in modern Jewish philosophy. The three figures whose thought I will recall in the broadcast are Moses Hess, one of the progenitors of modern Zionism who lived and wrote already in the period of emancipation, Aaron David Gordon, the pioneer philosopher of the Second Aliyah in the Land of Israel, and Nachman Sirkin, one of the ideological founders of the socialist Zionism as a world movement. A noticeable amount of research has been done on both Hess and Gordon because of their importance in the development of the Zionist idea. Very little, however, has been written on the centrality of social justice in their thought, and surprisingly little has been written on Nachman Sirkin at all. An excellent book of historical scholarship which touches on this topic while discussing the rise of Jewish politics at the end of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century can be found in Jonathan Frankel's wonderful composition, Prophecy and Politics. What I'd like to show in relating to the thought of these three thinkers is precisely how, beginning with Moses Hess and following with Gordon and Sirkin, we find a serious and consistent attempt to develop a vision of social justice within future Jewish society based upon the biblical laws relating to the weekly Sabbath and the sabbatical and jubilee years. Moses Hess, it should be mentioned, was a Jewish socialist who, in the years preceding the revolutions of 1848, was a full partner in discussions with Marx and Engels, as the three of them attempted to develop a vision of a universal humanity based upon social and economic equality. However, in his book, Roman Jerusalem, Hess became one of the first to realize that because of the anti-Semitism rampant even in socialist circles, as well as because of the rising wave of nationalism throughout the West, both for the sake of Jewish historical fate, as well as for the sake of the future of mankind, an attempt to create a worldwide humanity based on the principle of social equality will never be achieved except through the independent establishment of numerous national societies, each of which would combine the principle of family or ethnic solidarity with that of economic equality. In other words, he believed that a world imbued with social justice could only come to be after the fact. That is, as an international result of creating numerous socially oriented national states. From the Jewish perspective, this implied a form of socialist Zionism, the fundamental principle of which may be formulated in the context of the biblical laws concerning the Sabbath and the sabbatical and jubilee years, insofar as these were designed in the Bible to free all the individuals from bondage to the existing economic systems in which the rich and powerful become richer and more powerful, while the poor and the weak become poorer and weaker, often to the point of having to take upon themselves debts which they could never repay, or even sell their lands, and in the most extreme circumstances, even sell themselves and their families into slavery so as to avoid death by starvation. The biblical remedy to this was the obligation of all to a weekly day of rest, and the cancellation of debts, and the returning of land to its original owners, and the freeing of slaves in the sabbatical and jubilee years, all in light of the biblical principle, which denies human sovereignty over the land, and rather has God the Creator saying, "For all the land is mine." It should be noted, of course, that despite Hess's early partnership with Marx and Engels, He came to reject the theory of class struggle as a means to world revelation, and rather believed that a transformation of humanity is only possible through the national education based on religious and cultural heritages such as those embodied in these biblical texts. Aaron David Gordon followed Hess in his socially oriented yet anti-Marxist stance. Gordon developed a constructive socialist ideology intended to neutralize the Marxist tendencies of many of his comrades at the time of the Second Aliyah. Of course, because of time constraints, we cannot get too deeply into the ins and outs of Gordon's or Sirkin's thinking on social justice in this podcast. Nonetheless, it is clear that Gordon is following Hess when he writes, for example, that the first foundation for national creation is the land. From here arises the demand that the land will be owned by the people rather than by private business interests, and then adds, with this, even the Orthodox cannot argue, while quoting the biblical explanation, following once again from the mouth of God the Creator, "For the land is mine, and not yours to do as you wish." Gordon's debt to Moses Hess, however, is most obvious as he argues for a need of a religious humanist emphasis in education and against the attempt by the Marxist parties in the land of Israel to create a just society through economic legislation alone. Here he says, "All of the attempts to renew human life by creating a new social order can never succeed without fixing the human spirit from its foundation." Nachman Sirkin, as mentioned above, was not involved in the creation of a new Jewish community in the land of Israel as Gordon was, but rather was a labor leader, first in Russia and Central Europe, and later in the Lower East Side in New York. But at that time, he formulated a proposal for the development of a social Jewish state in the land of Israel as well. Since my intention here is only to give a taste of the way in which the theme of social justice comes up in the thought of these three figures, I will conclude with a statement made by Sirkin on the backdrop of his socialist and Zionist activity concerning the meaning of the Sabbath, once again clearly echoing Moses Hess's projection of the Sabbath and of the sabbatical and jubilee years onto the future of humanity. Sirkin writes that even a short look at the relevant biblical passages discloses, I quote, "the revolutionary heart of the prophets who are already striving for a world of justice, for a future Sabbath of Sabbaths, in which all people will be liberated, in which all will be free, a day which will be nothing but the Sabbath of history, that is, the dream of a true spiritualized humanity." I thank you for listening, and I hope that these short words have whetted your appetite.